Is it? Right there?
Dang it.
I just hate those lights sometimes. Does it look better now? Thank you. Man, what a peaceful morning it has been. Worship was just like very peaceful, wasn't it? Sometimes it can get loud and wild in here. Other times it's just everything slows down, and it got to have both. It's so important. So good job today, Jeff, for listening to Holy Spirit and being willing. So, Lord, I just pray that you open up our hearts this morning, God, to hear your voice. Whatever it is that you want to do, Lord, just continue to do that. You started something during worship, and Lord, I just pray that you continue to do that thing. I just thank you for the opportunity to get up here and speak and be a vessel for you today, God. Use my words to help transform and change our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jeff shared a little bit last week. He talked about God's plans. I'm just kind of picking up a little bit where he left off and kind of jumping into that. Like Rick said, it was kind of a last-minute thing, and I stepped up and said, I'd do this. Usually I'm, like, planning stuff, like, month out. So this is good. So God answers prayers, is amen? He's good. After starting a new diet, I altered my drive to work to avoid passing my favorite bakery. Yeah, I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning. As I approached, there in the window were a host of chocolate donuts and cheesecake. I felt this was no accident, so I prayed, Lord, it's up to you. If you want me to have any of those delicious goodies, create a parking place for me directly in front of the bakery. And sure enough, on the eighth time around the block, there was the parking space. God is good. Amen. He will make a way, won't he? Even if it takes eight times around the parking lot. Anywho. Yeah, that's not, that didn't really happen for me. No, I'm just kidding. It didn't really happen. I made it up. True story for somebody, I'm sure, though. Okay, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Jesus said to his disciples, this is how you ought to pray. He said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be all over today. I don't know. You could just follow along. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That ought to be our prayer that we pray. Are we listening and paying attention to what's going on around us? Last week we got to see some cool stuff happen in this building where we're just listening and watching to see what God's doing, how that whole thing worked out with Jerry and the building, the drums and the Red River revival. And it was just a pretty amazing story of and how we got to be a part of that. God's doing something, and it's happening all around us, and it's his kingdom, his will, and we have to pay attention. So how do we invest into what God's doing? How do we submit to his plans? How do we follow his ways? Because Jesus knows the way. That was probably a real picture in a magazine at some point, or a track or something, I bet, way back in the day. I found that online. I thought that was pretty cool. The 50s, long before my time. Jesus has a cool mustache, though. This guy's a handlebar mustache. Jesus knows the way. He's got a plan. Most of the time, his plan seems to be the most difficult plan. And that can make us feel uncomfortable at times. We often want to take the easy way. But usually, it's the hard way that makes us, helps us grow, doesn't it? And so we kind of fight sometimes when things get difficult and rough because we don't want to go down that road. We want the easy way. But if we're listening and we're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we can trust that God is good and his path is the best path for us. So we invest into what God's doing. One thing we know for sure is that when we're in his will and it's being done in our lives, it's the best path that, that we could ever be on. You know, we think we can try to do things our own way, and we think that we can control our own lives, but when God is in control and we give it up to him, it's the best place to be in, even if it doesn't look like the best plan. Amen. You've all been there. You all have testimonies. I know you do. Submitting our will to God's will. It just sounds like we think we are incapable of doing things right. The truth is, when we submit our will to his will, we don't become inactive in the process. Quite the opposite. Once we submit our will to his, God is able to give us the resources, the wisdom, the courage to do the impossible. That's good. He will give us the resources, the wisdom, and the courage to do the impossible when we submit our wills to his. He will give you the tools that you need for the journey, the path that he takes you on. It says in Philippians 2:13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him." Giving you the power and desires that pleases him. He is working in you, brothers and sisters. He has given you what you need to walk the journey, to walk the path with him, the things that please the Lord. If the scriptures say that there's things that can please the Lord, that means there's things that displeases him. And I'd rather be on the pleasing side than the displeasing side. We get to please the Father. Yeah, he delights in every one of you. It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. We all know the scripture. This is a picture I took when we went to Sun River last year. We get to go up there every once in a while on vacation. It's good times. I like to fish. Did I tell you the story about my 25-pound steelhead? It was a 30-pound. It was a 30-pounder, wasn't it? It gets bigger. The fish gets bigger every time I tell the story. Anyways, so we've been fishing here a few times at this river. It's called the Fall River. And you hike out in the middle of nowhere. You go down this like crazy road. It's like gravel road. You drive way out in the middle of nowhere. And there's like nothing out there but just like crickets and rattlesnakes and who knows what else. And you hike into the river there. And there's a waterfall, but I've never been to the waterfall. I've always wanted to go to the waterfall. And all the fishermen up there, it's fly fishing only, and they tell you, you got to go to the waterfall. So we finally decided we were going to go to the waterfall. And you got to hike pretty far, probably about 15 miles. No, not really, but it seemed like 15 miles. It's probably like half a mile. But when it's 105 degrees in the summertime and you're wearing all your fishing gear, it seems like 15 miles. Anyway, it was a long hike, and there's mosquitoes, and you're, like, fishing, and you got to, like, get out there. And I'm like, I always want to see this waterfall because it hurts amazing. So we get to the waterfall, and it's beautiful, and I took lots of pictures, and then we were done, and we were going to go home. And I thought, well, shoot, you know, that was a pretty long walk, and it was kind of a windy walk. But here's a nice trail over here. Let's go this way back. Jacob was with me and Isaac was with me. So we start walking and we're walking and Jacob's like, I don't think we're going the right way, Dad. I'm like, yes, we are. We're going the right way. I can tell. We're walking. We're walking. Like, I don't think the other trail was this long. We're walking and sweating and getting attacked by mosquitoes, and we're kind of making our own trail by this time. And I'm like, I know there's a road over there. I can see it. And we finally get to a road, and I'm like, yeah, this is the road we came in on. Jacob's like, no, Dad, it's not. They kept telling me, we need to go back the other way. And I'm like, no, we're not going back now. And then Isaac's like, Dad, we're lost. You know? I'm like, no, we're not lost. I just don't know where we're at. There's a difference, right? There's a road, so I'm on the road, so I'm just going to follow the road. And pretty soon, a ranger comes along, and state guy, parks guy, he's like, where are you guys going? I'm like, oh, we're trying to head back to the parking area where you're going the wrong way. It's like, this is going to take you out to the highway, and then you're going to have to hike all the way back to the, and like, he's like, you're better off just turn around going back. I'm like, oh, this trail we just came on, are you kidding me? No, because he was on the main road and we had to go back on the trail. So, yeah, why didn't he offer us a ride? Good question. He could have took us around on the road. Okay. What's up with bummer, dude? He was probably laughing. He's on the radio. There's some lost guys out here. Some tourist from Washington. Yeah, city boys lost in the woods. And I don't know if you've ever been in the woods in the Bend, Oregon, but it's like not like ours. It's a whole different scenery. It's pretty cool. Anyways, so we hiked back to the waterfall. We saw the waterfall again. But this time it wasn't as beautiful because Oz just wanted to get back. Yeah, that's my funny story about getting lost. But we weren't really lost. We just took the wrong path. You know, we pray oftentimes, Lord, help me, show me the path to take, right? And usually when we're praying that prayer, is because we're not on the path. Because if we were on the path, we wouldn't say, where's the path? Right? Because we got off the path. So we're like, Lord, show me the right path. Usually we're on the right path if we're following him, right? And we're the good shepherd. We're following the good shepherd. And so I got off the path, but I got back on the path, and that's life. Amen. That's a cool illustration. I like to share stories. Oh, my 25 pounder. I was 30 now. 30, it was a big one. I shared that last time, my fish that got away. It wasn't 25 pounds, it was only about 8 pounds. I just keep exaggerating it till it's bigger and bigger. But the one that got away, that was because I wasn't prepared for the journey that trip, right? I wasn't prepared. I hooked a fish bigger than I thought I was going to hook. And anyways, I got off my notes here, so I got to get back in here. He is the word is a lamp to my feet, a light unto my path. Ephesians 2:8. Chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not by your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, or his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 4 says, For he chose us in him before the creations of the world to be holy, blameless in his sight and love. What's God's will? What's God's plan? We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. We are a creation in process. We can be blameless in his sight. He chose us before the foundations of the earth to be blameless and to walk in love. Before the foundations of the earth. The God of creation, the God with Genesis 1 on his resume. Yeah, he's got a good resume, eh? Before that, he thought of you. He thought of me. Before that, he had a plan for you and for me. He had a desire in his heart to have a family. And he created us to be with him. a masterpiece, his workmanship. Yeah, that's the God you serve. He is good. He's got a plan. By ourselves, we will never be enough. But once we surrender our lives to God, everything about us, including our mistakes, our weaknesses, they become the raw material for his masterpiece. Craig Groeschel, as he said that. We learned that in our Bible study. Everything in your life, the raw material, including your mistakes and your weaknesses, become his masterpiece that he can work with. You know it's true, right? You all have testimonies of what God's used and turned around and transformed. Those things that you used to struggle with as your worst nightmare are now your biggest strengths. Amen? The addiction that you used to struggle with, you're no longer addicted anymore. Now you can help others, right? Because you've been there. The heartache. He transforms us. He turns those things around. He turns our frown upside down. That's my Jesus. He loves me. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. For the Bible tells me so. We learn it in the classroom, but then we become adults and we try to figure it out on our own. We tell the kids about Moses splitting the Red Sea, and when they grow up, they want to do the same thing, and we say, well, that was just a story. No, beloved. God can use you just like he did Moses, right? There's Davids in this room. There's Josephs in this room, right? We tell the kids the Bible stories and they believe them, but when they get older, they forget about them because we tell them that it's, oh, that's just in the Bible. God has a plan. If he can do it with them, he can do it with us, right? If God wants to start an awakening in our city, and we cry out for him to wake us up, he can do that. Last week we cried out for the war drums, that there was something be released. Jim prayed it again today. Those war drums came from a revival. And we pray in our city all the time that there would be revival, but we get discouraged because we don't see nothing. But we don't know what's going on in the heavenlies. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can't stop crying out for a revival, for awakenings, for when we don't see any evidence of it. I get discouraged at times because I'm like, I've heard this over and over. When are we going to see results? You know, and then you have somebody like my friend Dan over here who grabs you and pulls you aside and said, it's happening, you know. He sees things that sometimes others can't see, and so do you guys. And we can't lose hope in God's plans for this city, for our nation, for our hearts, for our family members, for our friends. God is good. God is good. To awaken something means to revive something that was dead. And maybe our hearts are not alive anymore. Maybe we've lost hope because we don't have that hope anymore. So I just pray this morning that our hearts would be awakened in love. That there would be a release and awakening in our city. That there would be awakening in our hearts. You know? We have to invest. We have to plant. We got to put the seed out there. We got to put the work in. And we're doing that, brothers and sisters. We're crying out that God would move our hearts. And we would walk in that plan he has. He has a plan for our city. We've heard it over and over and over again. We've heard people speak it. We've heard them prophesy it. But we get discouraged because we don't see the evidences of it. But it's up to us to not give up hope, right? Amen. We can't give up hope. What was I thinking? I'm running all over the place here. I'm not even on my notes. We can't get discouraged. God is moving. You can't be like, wake up one morning and be like, hey, where's that apple tree I've been believing for? You know, you look out the window and you're just expecting an apple tree to be in your yard because you've just been believing that one day there's going to be an apple tree in your yard. right? The only way there's going to be an apple tree in your yard is if you plant a seed. And then that seed will be germinate. And then that seed will grow into a tree, right? So it's the work. You have to put work into it. You're not going to see the growth until you plant the seed, right? We can't just believe that something's going to happen unless we're investing in our city, unless we're investing in our community, and we're investing in people's lives. That is a part of God's plan. What's his greatest commandment? To love God and to love one another, right? And so if we want people's lives changed, it's up to us. You know, we get lazy. But it's up to us to be the ones that go out and tell them who they are in Christ. It's up to us to tell them that God loves them, that God has a plan for them. You know, we're good at doing church on Sunday, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. But it's hard to do church on Monday, you know, when I'm at work. And the guy is next to me is having a hard time, and I just know I need to pray for him, but I'm scared to say anything. Things aren't going to change that way, right? Things are only going to change if I get enough boldness to say, hey, I know a God who can help you through this situation. He's big enough and he's strong enough. Amen. This is not me spanking anybody. This is probably more me spanking myself here. But God is good. And so we do cry out for a revival in our city. We do cry out for awakenings. We do cry out for the move of God, for the power, the demonstrations, the signs and wonders. And I pray that God would move today in this building. I pray every day because my heart is like, I'm always want transformation now. I'm a now kind of guy. I'm like, I want to see it happen now. You know, every time I get up here and preach too, I'm like, I want to see people's lives transformed right now. And then I walk away and I get discouraged because I didn't see anything happen. But I can't live like that because they never know what's going to happen. You know, 10 years down the road, somebody might come to me later and say, hey, I heard you say this one thing and it really impacted me. It's been working on me. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. So we just have to throw the seed. Throw the seed and hope that something lands, right? And then that thing will germinate and it will grow. You guys are quiet. Why are you so quiet? I need some coffee. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. That's you. That's you he's talking about. That's us. That's you. You're the ones that are going to go out and change the city. We're going to change this city. We're going to change this church. What if church isn't going to look like what it used to look like? Yeah? What if the guy standing up here behind the wooden table, this is not going to be the norm anymore? Are we going to be okay with that? Yeah? What if God wants to change and wreck everything? You know? What if we don't have a building to meet in? Are we still going to do church? Yep. Yeah? Because it's not about a building, is it? It's about one another. And it's so cool because God's doing that in people's lives. He's bringing them together in a way that's creating such a strength and unity that it's happening in our city. It's happening with one another. You know, that's when we gather on Sunday, it's just a celebration of what God's done throughout the week. When we gather in men's Bible study, we just tell stories forever because we just want to share each other's lives and what God's doing. He's got a plan. And you have to include others in that plan. We can walk by ourselves and we can go down this journey by ourselves, but that's not the gospel message. The gospel message is to go make disciples, right? The Great Commission was to go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples. Teach. Train. Equip. I love being back in the classroom because it's like I can't get enough of just those kids because some of them are mine, but, you know, that's where it's at, you know. Like, if everything I do is just to create a way for my children, I'm going to do it, you know. If they get the benefit from what the things I do, then that's great. I would like to do that. I'd like to give them more than what I have. And plus, you get amazing people back there. I mean, last week I was back there with Jody, and if you ever heard Jody preach the message, oh my goodness. Like, that's the best sermon I've heard in a long time. It was last week. She did an amazing job talking about the heart of David and worship. And she was in tears, and I was in tears, and Nina was in tears, and we were like, that's the best message we've heard in a while. So yeah, it's cool. Those kids are cherished. They're awesome. It says in Isaiah 64, verse 8, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter, and all of us are the work of your hand." You are the potter, we are the clay. In Jeremiah, the Lord tells Jeremiah, he says, "Go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there." So he did. This is in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. He says, "So I did. I found the potter working on the wheel, but the jar that he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave the message, 'O Israel, can I not do to you as the potter has done to his clay? As the clay is to the potter's hand, so are you in my hand.'" Do you trust the potter when he's molding you and he's making you to become who he wants you to be? When it hurts and it's painful and you say, "No, not again, don't crush me again." Do you yield to the potter? Do you know that he's good, the Father? Yeah, and he's got a plan, and we submit to his plan, right? It's not a bad plan. It's a good plan that he has for us. In Romans 9:20, it says this, "Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who was created, who created it, 'Why have you made me like this?' When a potter makes a jar of clay, doesn't he have the right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another to throw garbage into it?" The potter has the right to do as he pleases, right? Before the foundations of the earth, he thought of you. Can we yield our lives up to him? Can we get our eyes off of ourselves and think that this is not about me, but there's a bigger plan that God's got? You know? It's tough, man. But God's got a plan, and it's good. I'm just going to keep saying that over and over. Because if you get it in your mind, you'll get it in your heart. The gospel message isn't for our heads, it's for our heart. The gospel message is going to change your heart. A man's perspective changes, and everything changes. When you start looking at things differently, your life will change and be transformed. It says, be transformed by changing the way you think, by the renewing of your mind. When we start seeing people the way God sees people, then we're going to slow down for a minute and go, okay, maybe there's more going on here, you know? Because he's got a plan in somebody's life. So we're driving to work and we're like, we're running late and we got to get somewhere soon. So we're like, "God, give me a green light, give me a green light, give me a green light." You know? So you're like, "I can't hit a red light." Well, if God answers your prayer and he gives you every single green light, guess what? Somebody else is getting a red light. Yeah? Do we think about that? That's good, huh? That's deep. It really is deep. Deep stuff. Right? Because we want our path to be clean and clear. But if we're praying for ourselves, then somebody else is going to we're going to benefit off of somebody else's loss, right? We got to look at it that way. You know, so maybe there's a kid in a car whose parents trying to get him to the hospital, but we're like, we want every green light to get to work. And that kid had to sit at a red light. It's a good way to look at it, though, because it can transform your life. I'm not a fly by the seat kind of guy. Fly off the seat of my pants. I can't even say it. Fly by the seat of my pants. That's it. I like to know everything beforehand, but it gets me in trouble. Gets me in big trouble because I want to know what's going on. I'm the guy that's like, "All right, what's the plan?" You know? And then you have a meeting with Jeff and Jeff's like, "I don't know." And you're like, "I want to know the plan." just give me a list of things that I got to do today. And I just, you know, like my poor wife, you know, she's like, tells me, just figure it out, honey. I'm like, just give me a list of the things I need to do. And then I do them wrong. Oh my gosh, she left me. Do you know that? My wife left me. She, a few weeks ago, she left me. She came back, though. She went on a trip for 4 days. That was some long 4 days. Yeah, she came back, though. And she left me a list. I just couldn't figure out why the washing machine wasn't working properly and why there was soap coming out of the dishwasher. And then our plumbing broke Friday night. And so that was interesting. Where am I going with that? Doesn't even make matter, does it? Oh, yeah. So I'm like, God, there's got to be a plan. What are you doing here? Because, like, Friday, she took off, and, like, I got all the kids, and I was tired because I got up at, like, 2:30 that morning, and I got home. I was getting ready. Judah was in the shower, and he was the last one, and he shut the water off, and I went in there, and the water didn't shut off. And I was like, what the heck's going on here? And so I, like, start messing with the knob, and I grab my channel locks, I start reefing on it to unscrew the thing there, and pop, broke the copper pipe in the wall, and water spraying everywhere. And I'm like, oh gosh, I wanted to call my wife, and but I'm like, no, I'm not going to tell her what's going on. So I had to drag the kids down to Home Depot at like 9 o'clock at night, and got the wrong parts, and so we had no water Friday night, and it was a pretty mess. But you know, whatever. You know, I went with the flow. We got it figured out. We got the plumbing fixed by late Saturday night. You know, and it worked out really good. But I want to know the plan. I'm like, God, just, you know, just tell me, how's this thing going to work out? You know, and it's just like our lives, like we think we're going to have everything go easy in our lives, but sometimes things come at us. And it's every time stuff like that happens, I just figure, you know, it's a chance for me to grow, you know? When something comes along in my life, it's just like, it's a chance for me to grow. I'm the potter. Or wait, I'm the clay. He's the potter. Wait, he's molding me and making me into something beautiful. Right? He's taking my ashes and he's giving me beauty. He's saying, I'm going to teach you patience and that, you know, you're not going to freak out and get angry. My friend came over. He's a plumber. But he couldn't come over till like Saturday night. And so he comes over Saturday morning because they're going to the zoo that day. And he's like, okay, he gives me a list of things to get, you know, at the store. He's like, so I go down there, and I have to take my water heater out and all this stuff. Well, nothing went the way it should have. I got all the wrong parts. Water heater wouldn't drain. It was a mess. But we got it fixed. Oh, anyway, so at one point, he's kind of a Christian. He doesn't really go to church, but he's like, he's been my buddy since, like, high school. And he puts his hand on me, he goes, Kevin, your stress is getting all over me. Calm down. Calm down. Like, you don't understand. We got to get this fixed before Nina comes home. I got laundry to do. I got dishes to wash. I got kids to bathe. Oh my gosh, the kids didn't bathe for like 2 days. Of course, they were playing outside too, so they were filthy. Anyways, those situations like that in our lives, it's cool because, especially when you got kids, because it's like your kids are watching you. They're seeing how you respond to things. They're seeing how you act. You know, when you get lost in the woods and they want to see if you stress out and freak out. And sometimes I do, probably more times than I should. I get a little stressed out because, like I said, I want to know the plan. If you just tell me, then I won't have to worry about it. But anyways, that's a big issue in our culture today. Is we have a lot of us suffer with anxiety and stress, and a lot of it's because we don't trust that God's going to be the one that takes care of us and gets it through. You know, and every time I got to stop that and I got to go, okay, wait, you know, God's bigger than this. He can handle this. You know, I don't have to worry about this. You know, I used to struggle with fear quite a bit, and I just learned it doesn't have to be a thing in my life. You know. I had Jeff pray for me, and it was went away, and I don't really have fear anymore. Anxiety and stress comes at me sometimes, and I just say, nah, God's bigger than this, you know? But it's all good. He's got a plan, even if it doesn't look like the plan that we think it's going to be, you know? It's his plan. If he wants to crush the pot, because it doesn't look right, he can crush the pot and start all over. It's okay. If you want to start all over in my life, Lord, I say yes. And I hope that you can say the same thing. When our lives are touched by God, everything can change. The culture we live in is draining, leaving us tired, discouraged, and suffering with little, if any, margin in our lives. It's time for us to be renewed by His Spirit. Hebrews 13 says this, "Now may the God of peace, who brought you up from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with His blood, may He equip you with all that you need for doing His will. May He produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to Him. All glory to Him forever and ever. Amen." Yeah. May He equip you with all you need for doing His will. He will. He will equip you with what you need. He will give you the tools you need to walk the will that He has for you, to walk the plan out. You just have to ask Him. Say, "Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. Lord, give me a renewed mind." Amen? This is Scripture, man. This is God's Word, and it's good. It's a prayer that you can pray every day. It's right out of the Word. Say, "Lord, equip me with all that I need today to walk out your will." Whether it be sitting at a red light or broken plumbing, give me what I need to get through this day. And at the end of the day, you can look back and you can say, "Wow, God did this. God did this." I told you, those kids back there are awesome. Yeah. So we can pray for guidance. We can pray for wisdom. Wisdom is making right choices. All we have to do is ask Him. We have a 24/7 hotline that we can access anytime, right? That our hotline, we can pick up our phone and say, "Lord, what's going on? I need your help today." You know, you're not going to get a busy signal. It's toll free. It won't cost you. Just call Him up. Say, "Lord, help me today. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom and revelation." Ephesians 1:17, this is a prayer that Paul prays. He says, "I pray for you that I do not cease to give thanks for you and make a mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the dead." Pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. We pray for a greater understanding and the knowledge of who Christ is. Who is Christ? Who is Christ? He's the Son of the living God. It blows my mind that God took Holy Spirit and said, we're gonna go into Mary's womb. A human. He took a human. He came down to earth. A human, and put him in the womb of Mary, and Mary carried Holy Spirit Jesus in her womb for 9 months, and He walked the earth. He didn't have to do that. That's the God who loves you. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. Right? So that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but they would have everlasting life. Eternal life with Him. Amen? This is the gospel message. He has a plan from the very beginning. He sent His Son so that we could be free. He gave us the law not to show us our sin, but to give us freedom from sin. Not to reveal our sin, but to set us free from our sin. Without Christ, we're just a sinful nature. Our sinful nature is dead when we believe in Him, right? We put to death the old things, the old man. We kill the old man. And the new man is born, right? But somehow we still live to the old man. We have a new life in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. All things are new. Old things are passed away. All things are new. We can pray this dangerous prayer. Give to me or withhold from me what you choose, O Lord. Give to me or withhold from me the things that you choose, O Lord. You know, I really wanted that nice car. No, I don't think it's talking about cars. But in our lives, you know, sometimes he'll hold things back for our sake to protect us. So give to me the things that you think I need, Lord. The things that you have called for me, to equip me for the path that I'm on, the will. The future is whatever you make it. So make it a good one. Doc Brown. The future is whatever you make it. So make it good one. Doc Brown. That's some bad theology there, brother. Doc Brown. Anybody who knows Doc Brown is? Back to the future. Number three. The future is not what you make of it. Make it a good one. But that's what I'm talking about. We put these things into our minds and we're like, what are we putting into our mind? Are we putting the word into our mind or are we putting the world's view into our mind? The world says you can make your future. God says, I have a future for you. When you step into my will, I have a path planned for your life. So we step into, we submit our lives to him and stop trying to do it on our own. Right? So we put his word into our minds, into our hearts. You know, we got to be careful what we're listening to and what we're letting into our minds. John, do you know, you guys know who John Newton was? I'm sure some of you do. He was a Englishman. During 1748, he was on a voyage to England. After his rescue, Newton had a spiritual conversion. The ship encountered a severe storm off the coast of Ireland and almost sank. Newton awoke in the middle of the night, and as the ship filled with water, he called out to God. The cargo shifted and stopped up the hole, and the ship drifted to safety. Newton marked this experience as the beginning of his conversion to evangelical Christianity. He began to read the Bible and other religious literature. By the time he reached Britain, he had accepted the doctrines of evangelical Christianity. The date was March 10th, 1748, an anniversary he marked for the rest of his life. From that point on, he avoided profanity, gambling, and drinking, although he continued to work in the slave trade. I missed that part. He worked on a slave ship, and he was actually known to be a really rough, terrible guy. Anyways, he had a spiritual conversion, and it changed his life forever, and probably the well-known hymn that he wrote, that we all know today, is Amazing Grace. You know, God used this man who was just a dirty old slave ship guy with cursing and profanity and changed his life, and he wrote a hymn that we still sing today about God's amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. He saved a wretch like me. God has a plan, even for a man whose life doesn't look like it can amount to anything. Writes one of the greatest hymns that we know today, Amazing Grace. God's grace is amazing. His love is so good, his plan is so great, that when we change our ways for his ways, we never know what can happen. It's God's amazing grace. Anybody want to sing it for us? No volunteers. Wayne, where are you? Wayne likes to sing it. Amazing grace. Okay. So this is a quote from him. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world, but still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yeah. you get that? I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be. But I'm not what I once was. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm not what I ought to be. But I'm in a process of becoming who he wants me to be. Right? It's a process in our lives. It takes place. It's a slow process sometimes. Sometimes it's a quick process. I would rather have the quick process, but I am on the slow path. For some reason. Welcome to all of our lives, right? Yeah. But you know, you're like, you want to be the guy that's like gets converted and the next day he's like, you know, knows everything. But that's not me. I'm a slow process. Anyways, so kids are coming out. I'm going to try to wrap this up. And in closing, they say that 80% of people re-engage when you say that. Did you re-engage? Ah, because you were falling asleep, weren't you? So, in closing, it worked, didn't it? So check it out. Good trees bear what? Good fruit. Bad trees bear what? So what do you want to be? A good tree. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Bad trees will try really, really hard to look like they have good fruit in their lives. All that striving and all that effort. But you will never have good fruit unless you're a good tree. Right? Jesus said, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Matthew chapter 7. That's the words of Jesus. He says, you're a good tree, so your life will have good fruit. If you walk in my will for your life, if you obey my plans, if you are pleasing to the Father, you will be a good tree who produces good fruit. Amen? I want to have good fruit in my life. And the way we do that is we die to ourselves. Not a slow death, but a quick death. Complete death. Let that old man, that old nature die and become a new man in Christ. Not just mostly dead, but all dead. Right? Miracle Max said this. Just so happens that your friend here is mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Mostly dead is slightly alive. With all dead, well, with all dead, there's usually one thing you can do. Go through his pockets. Anyways. We need to be all dead. Not just slightly dead. Well, our old nature needs to be dead. Our old man. Remember when you got baptized? You got a new man. Yeah. So you put to death your old nature when you got baptized. That was a good day for you. I remember that day. Right? So we put it to death. We don't want to pick anything back up. But we got a bad habit of picking those little things back up. Romans 8 says this, 8:28. And we know that the God who causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his will and his purpose. So all the things work together for the good of those who love him. So the things and situations in our life that may be yucky, he's going to use those for good, right? Amen. That's the word of the Lord. That's what it says. I believe it. He says it to Abraham in Genesis 15. He says, Abraham, I am your shield. I am your great reward. Our greatest reward is God. That's our great reward, is to be with him forever in eternity. He is our greatest reward. That of all the things we could have on the earth, it's his plan to be with him for eternity. That's what he wants. And he wants transformation in our lives so we can help be a part of that plan. We need to live like a sons and daughters. We need to live in sonship, right? We need to understand that we are sons and daughters of the living God. When he has adopted you into his family, now you can go to your daddy, your Abba Father, and you can ask for anything you need. Ask in my name, and he will give to you, right? That's what the word says. Ask, and he will give. You are now a son and a daughter of God. And he likes to give good gifts. And he has a good plan. We walk in his plan together corporately and individually. And you guys are awesome in this room. I might not know everybody in here, but pretty close. But I just want to encourage you to reach out to people, to get to know people, to hang out with them, to walk with them. Yeah? That's the gospel message, to make disciples, to run the race together. And there's a great crowd of witnesses up above cheering us on, right? Right? If something were to happen in our city today, would we be ready? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Like a child. Faith like a child. He believes it. He believes it. Do you believe it? I struggle with it. Because I got 41 years of doubt and, you know, people's telling me this and that and blah, blah. But I'll have to have childlike faith. Yeah? Did something shift last week in the spirit? Did something shift when we sat in this room and we prayed? I don't know, but I hope so. I'd rather be on the side of yes than no. So God, I just pray that you would awaken our hearts. You'd awaken our lives. You would help us be examples of who you are in Christ. In Romans it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Yeah? I hope I helped you guys at all today, this morning, with understanding that God has a plan and it's a good one. And the way we can walk that plan out is knowing who he is, knowing the word of God. We always say, I don't know what his path is for my life. It's right here, not on my iPad, but it's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. There's many, many scriptures in there that says, this is the plan I have for you. This is the path I have for you. This is the will that I have for you, right? And it's good, and we can trust it. And he will reveal things along the way, right? He'll put people in our lives along the way. He'll put friends who are going to walk alongside you and encourage you, uplift you, right? And I hope that we can be good friends to others. Hi, Natalie. Do you want to say something?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay?
Go for it.
Jesus, thank you for this day we have. Nice day, Jesus. We thank you. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, that was actually in my notes here somewhere. Where is it at? Right here. This is part of the key. Right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Give thanks always. Pray continually. So yeah, so God is good. Do you guys all agree? Yeah. We're walking together as a family. We're loving on each other. We're putting up with each other's differences and our faults, but it's to make us a better person in the end, right? It's all for a purpose, and God's plan is bigger than our plan. We want to submit to his plan for our lives, even when it's uncomfortable, you know? So I just pray, Lord, Father, that we would just be the clay that you want us to be, Lord, that we would yield. And we'd say, yes, mold us and make us into who you called us to be, Lord. This plan, this path that you have for us, God, we say yes to it. What you want to do in our city, what you want to do in our hearts, and what you want to do in this church, God, I just say yes to it. And if I get discouraged, Lord, I just say no more discouragement. Just continue to give us hope for tomorrow, Lord. Continue to give us hope for transformation in this city, God. Set the captives free. No more homelessness. No more addiction. No more depression in our city, God. No more alcoholism. It can happen. I know it can happen. It's happened in the past. It can happen again. We pray for a move of God in our city that's so powerful that others would wonder what the heck's going on. We pray people would be set free just by crying out to you in the middle of the night, Lord. We pray for an awakening in our own hearts, Lord, so we can go help other people. God, just use us in this room, God. We say yes to you, God. Mold us. Make us. Create in me a new heart, oh God. That I wouldn't walk out of this room the same person. That we would walk out of this room transformed, trusting in your plan, God. No more discouragement. No more depression. If you don't know Christ, if you don't know Jesus today, and you want to get to know him, you can get to know him. It says, anyone who believes in me, anyone, he will show you. Just ask him. He's your daddy. He's a father. He's your friend. Is there anybody in this room that's struggling with addiction? Is there anybody in here? Any kind of addiction at all? Yeah? Yeah? You know what? I smoked for 16 years and I quit 9 years ago. So I have expertise in that. I know how stinking hard it is, man. It is the hardest thing. Yeah. Can we pray for you? Anybody else? What do you addiction? You don't have to just say what it is. Okay. Well, let's get rid of this thing today. God's already set you free from it. You just got to believe it, right? Yeah. Yeah? Read another one? Let's pray for them right now. Do you believe that God is big enough to set you free from this? Do you believe he's big enough and powerful enough and he has a plan? Yeah? And it's not going to be easy, right? Yeah? But that's him making you, molding you. So God, we just say no more addiction in Jesus' name. Somebody gather around her. No more addiction. Set him free today, God. We thank you. We're not asking you, God. We're thanking you for the freedom in Christ. We're asking you, saying you are good enough, you are big enough, and we say no more. You're free. You're free. Never again will it come back. Do not pick it up ever again. Set them free, God. No more. You have a new path for them, God, from this day forward. Yes, Lord, we believe. You can do all things. Yeah, it's the new man. The new spirit. No more. No more. You stand up to that thing. When those cravings come, you say, no, God's bigger than this. And when that no longer battle is in your life anymore, he's going to take you to the next step. It's only going to open up the door for more, for greater things. Oh, you're going to be amazed. I pray for visitations in the night, Lord. I pray for dreams and visions, God. Send your angelic host to their room while they're sleeping, Lord, and minister to them. So that not even their dreams would be affected by the enemy. Yeah, you're stronger than the one who tries to come against you. Greater is he that is in you than the one that's in the world. I believe it. Yeah, and for all the people in this room, the ones that didn't want to raise their hands, Lord, I ask that you would set them free. If there's anybody struggling with pornography in this room, I say no more. No more pornography. Set them free, God. Set them free. Release them today to be children, to be sons and daughters of the living God. No more guilt, no more condemnation, and no more shame. That is not the gospel message. The gospel message is freedom. 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 Jesus' name. Yeah. You don't have to give in anymore. You're stronger. His spirit is stronger. This is the God of the creation, the God of Genesis 1. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. Before the foundations of the earth, he created you. What's your name? Shauna? Shauna. Yeah. In your mother's womb, he was forming you and he was molding you and he was making you. He says, I got a plan for you and it's big, buddy. Yeah, yeah. You just got to stand up to that thing. You're already set free from it. Now just believe it. In Jesus' name, just believe it. Yeah. No more. No more. Yeah, you guys can go if you want. You don't have to stick around. God is good. We're on a path and a plan.